So I thought I would share this afternoon about some aspect of the Dhamma, of this nature that we can notice that was pointed out as particularly helpful for us to recognize by the Buddha, and that we don't always recognize in our experience. This is a teaching about the three characteristics or three marks of existence. So this is describing some, maybe you could say, tools for taking apart the way that we usually relate to reality or life. Or maybe it's tools for questioning in some ways. So the first one you could say is anicca, or impermanence. So this is relating to that everything is always changing. And this one is maybe on some level the easiest for us to understand, even intellectually. So the weather is always changing. During the day it changes from light to dark. Things are changing in the politics, things are changing in the environment. Really the one that we are most interested in is ourselves, often, and things are always changing actually in that which we call ourself. So some of that you could kind of understand, like, okay, at one point I was a baby, then I was a child, then I went to school, then I became an adult. You know, like you changed all that time. Or even you could consider during this retreat. So you could remember when you arrived here and maybe you had certain thoughts and feelings, and then as time went on, you had different thoughts and feelings. So some people have reflected in the interviews, like, yeah, maybe when I first got here, I was excited about it, and then things got hard, and I was depressed about it, and then they got easier again, and I was happy about it. Or maybe you had the opposite. First you got here, and you were wondering why you got here, why you chose to come, and then you had some beautiful experience in nature, happy about it, and then something else happened you didn't like, sad about it. So, you know, the contents of the mind is always changing. Contents of the emotions are always changing. So also even scientifically, the body is always changing. So I'm going to read you a little article from the New York Times from 2012. And I'll kind of paraphrase it because it's using sometimes some unnecessarily fancy language. So the article is called "Your Body is Younger Than You Think." So although people may think of their body as a fairly permanent structure, most of it is in a state of constant flux. So that's change. As old cells are discarded and new ones come in their place. Each kind of tissue has its own turnover time, depending on its workload. The cells lining the stomach last only 5 days. The red blood cells travel nearly 1,000 miles through the body, last only 120 days or so on average, before going to the graveyard in the spleen. The epidermis, or the surface layer of the skin, is recycled every 2 weeks or so. This is like the body's wrapper, so it can be easily damaged by scratching and wear and tear. And the liver only lasts 300 to 500 days. Other tissues have lifetimes measured in years, not days, but are still far from permanent. Even the bones endure non-stop makeover. The entire human skeleton is thought to be replaced every 10 years or so in adults, as twin construction crews of bone dissolving and bone rebuilding cells combine to remodel it. So basically at the same time, your cells are, of the bones are being created and dying at the same time. So you sit here and it feels like solid, yeah, this is me, this is the body, but actually, of course, everything is changing all the time in that which we call this body. In fact, I think the body is made up 3/4 of water, similar to the percentage of water on the earth. And we replenish the supply of water in the body about every 7 days or so, so it's said. So now I think I've been in Finland about 7 days, so now I'm 3/4 Finnish water also. So I'm, I didn't get a different passport, but basically I'm similar to all of you now from this experience. So yeah, we think that we're solid, but actually we're in constant interaction with our environment. And we're dependent on that. We're dependent on the food we eat and the weather. And yeah, we're not some separate, permanent, solid entity that has some control. So that which we call ourselves is actually more like a process, most like, you know, fire. It's sort of a thing, but it's more like it's a process, fire. It's like burning, you know, it's a activity. So from this, you can also understand that we're in dependence of our environment too. So it's important we have clean air to breathe and that we can drink fresh water, because all of this is what makes up our body too. Like, we're not separate from our environment. So recognizing impermanence, and we can know this not just intellectually, but as we bring awareness to recognizing the way things are, we can see that things are always changing. Changing, changing, changing. Some people reported that they noticed this in the way that awareness moves between different sense fields, and that it's actually like almost tiring when you start to tune into this change. So if you notice that, that is actually accurate, and this takes us to the second one, which is that because everything is always changing, there's actually nothing solid to stand on in our experiential life. So it doesn't mean that there's not pleasant things to be had, like the beauty of the changing leaves, but that all of this is very ephemeral. Now, if you can appreciate the beauty of the changing leaves because it's only there for a short time, then maybe it's okay. But if you were wanting the leaves to stay and suffering when they fall down, then you'd be in trouble. So we could learn to live in harmony with this way of change, the way things are always changing. So the second characteristic is dukkha, which in this case is related to this unreliability of phenomena. Ungovernability is another way of saying it. Like, yeah, the body is always changing, and there's no central control of a me who gets to like map that. So there's something unsatisfying about that if we go to look for satisfaction in something that is not lasting. So here's the secret of the Dhamma, like, oh, if you just let it be as it is, if you can just allow things to be in flux and change, if you can accept that, then there doesn't have to be a problem. Things can be just as they are. So anicca, change, impermanence, dukkha, this unreliability or unsatisfactoriness in some ways. And then the third one, anatta, this one's maybe the harder one to understand, but it's like a connected to these other two, that there is a way in which there is a lack of center. There is a way in which this kind of conditionality is at play. And so the way that we usually conceive of things as solid entities is a misperception. So including ourselves. So if what we are is just a bunch of cells, you know, the physical body, like building bones and dissolving bones and so on. Yeah, there's a process here, but there's no solid permanent thing that we could call as sort of the master of this process. So there are many different lists in Buddhism. You've heard of some of them already, and here I'll give you a list that you may have heard of very recently. So tofu, peas, mushroom, leek, garlic, olive oil, tomato puree, vegetable bouillon cube, black pepper, chili paste, and basil. You recognize this list? So this was lunch. So this was tofu stroganoff, right? So at some point, all of those ingredients were all separate, right? Actually, this morning I went into the kitchen and there was some piles of leeks and some piles of mushrooms and tomato puree in one pot. So they're all separate things. And if you go back even further, at some point all these things were growing in different fields somewhere, right? Like, I don't know if it was in Finland or different places these vegetables were growing, right? So at some point there was no such thing as tofu stroganoff. It was these vegetables growing different places, and then they got picked and then transported, and then the nice folks at Niroda purchased them, brought them here. And then this morning they got a little bit closer together. The excitement grows. Almost the birth of tofu stroganoff. Right. Then they get put together, and then for a very brief time exists this thing, tofu stroganoff, in this pot. Right. And then now it's gone. Right. So what happened to it? So it's actually in this hall, in the form of, like, in the various stomachs and bodies here, right? Side note is also, like, I understand that there was actually so good the tofu stroganoff that they ran out of tofu stroganoff. So an appeal in case that you were worried about that or upset about that, that another way of saying these characteristics is, like, from the Japanese version of wabi-sabi. It's like, nothing is perfect, nothing lasts, and nothing is finished. So particularly on the nothing is perfect front, we can see if we can be hold with kindness the ups and downs of our community together. So I know our friends in the kitchen are doing their best and following the recipes and the amounts that's supposed to be enough and things like that. But they, like me, are actually sort of volunteers in coming here to do this. So everyone doing their best in some ways. So if we can hold our colleagues and community with kindness and support is probably helpful too. So back to the story of the tofu stroganoff. So, okay, it existed for a short time. And then now it's, like, disseminated about into these various bodies. So what happened? Did it exist? Did it not exist? So it did exist in a way, temporarily. But even in its temporary form, it was actually only there because it was a concoction of different conditions, right? Different elements together. And then it kind of, like, was there for a little bit of time, and it's useful to have a name for it, and it's good they put the label on it so you know what's in there and stuff. But then, you know, very, very quickly it's gone again. So this is actually true of everything in some ways. You know, this is true of this building. So this wood, you know, was once trees in the forest, right? All of this around. And then the glass was once, like, minerals in the ground. These flowers were in some field. You know, the water was in some stream or something like that. You know, so then all these elements have come together, and for the moment this is like friendship in. But also, like the tofu stroganoff, it's sort of like, you can almost sometimes feel the thing vibrating, and you can see places where it is actually falling apart already, you know, sometimes, right? Like the steps getting worn down, or, you know, this wood having little marks in it and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a way in which everything is in process. You know, everything's in a process of being born, living out, dying. And then temporary along that way, we'll call it different names, which works for our common designation in some ways, but it also is not permanent. You know, it's not like totally the whole story, if that makes sense. It's both true and not true, I guess is what I'm saying. So yeah, it's useful to have a name and to know this person is that, and you have labels on where you're sitting, but also in some ways we're each like little fire flames, you know, like, so it's like changing and dancing and shifting. So the idea with this is, in our reflection and in our actual recognition of this through practice of awareness, maybe we can see this a little bit more truly for how it is. And if we can see things more truly for how they are, then we can actually relate to life, relate to each other, relate to the world in some way that's in some ways like more accurate, you know, like more aligned with how things are. So we don't need to cling to the leaves or cling to the summertime, you know. I understand you had a beautiful hot summer here, but right, it's changing now, it's cooler, and the leaves are changing. And if we can be with that and allow that, then there's beauty in this phase also. And then maybe the next phase is different, but that can also be okay in some way. So it's our clinging to things, it's our wanting them to be different than how they are that causes this friction, you could say, like unnecessary friction in the system, the suffering. And it's not to say that even in this change, there's not pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. There can be all of that stuff coming and going, but actually all of it is also in flux, so none of it will stay very long in some ways. So that's one way of considering these three characteristics, these three marks of existence. And yeah, you could just keep an eye out for them. You don't need to strain too much, but yeah, you could see if this is true. You could see if there's something lasting in the external environment, in your internal environment, in that which we call ourself. You know. And you could even reflect, you could probably recognize ways in which, oh yeah, if I don't see change, if I can't recognize change and be with it, then it causes difficulty and suffering in life. So even, for example, in relating to other people, like if you have children in your life, like if you have children or nieces, nephews, friends, when they're really small, you have to relate to them one way, like they need help to get dressed, to go to the bathroom, to eat. And then sometimes if you see them even just a little bit later, they've actually gained mastery of those things, and they do not want your help anymore. You know? Like they want to do that all by themselves. And if you try to relate to them like they're little kids, and they're like medium-sized kids, like it doesn't work well, right? Like they don't like it. And even worse if you relate to the teenagers, right? Like they're kids. They don't like it. It's not going to work well. Or even if you marry someone, you know, you marry someone, you've been married 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So by the time 20 years, you're actually different people than when you got married at, let's say, 25. You know. And you could still grow together, you could still love each other, but yeah, 45-year-old person, have different experiences, you understand the world differently. And in some ways you have to be able to see that person for who they are now. Like, be able to relate to them fresh. Not to relate to them like from your old idea of who they are. Not to hold on to like old faults or old concepts, you know. Or maybe it's easiest for us to notice when someone is relating to us like we were. in the past. You know, not able to see us fresh for who we are now, like what we've learned, how we've changed. So it's difficult. You feel like, oh, this person is not really seeing me, you know. We're not really having a conversation. They're actually just relating to some image in their mind, you know. So our practice helps us to see what's really true in this moment. So to let go of the past or even some imagined future and be present with how this body is manifesting now, how this nature is manifesting now, how this world is manifesting now, how the children are, everything. And the more we can learn to see this and live in accordance with this, then yeah, the less stress we'll have, the less friction we have from trying to hold on to things that inherently can't last. So as we practice in this way of, you know, resting in awareness and, you know, noticing the relationship to different objects as they arise, we can feel sometimes this grasping, wanting things to stay, the pushing away, wanting to get rid of things. So that's really like feeling the tension of those moments when we're not actually aligned with how things are. You know, this kind of kilesa, this defilement, so to speak, has fallen in front of our eyes, and then we're stressed. There's tension. You know, there's this suffering there. But the times when we can just allow things to be as they are, to come and go, it's like this now, it's like this now. Yeah, then we can see nature unfolding. And not just the nature all around us, but the nature of this body, this mind. So we can realize ourselves as part of nature in some way that also can be very freeing. So we can just sit with these dhamma a little bit.